Thank you to our band for leading us so wonderfully in worship. Let us pray. As we were reminded last week through the word that Jamie brought us, that our God is enthroned on the praises of his people. As we bring our hearts and our lives in sacrificial praise and worship to him, he rejoices and is enthroned upon those praises. He takes his place in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. He is with us right now, right here. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. We give you our praise and our worship. Lord, would you speak to us as we turn to your word? Lord, would you lay on each of our hearts the particular thing that you want to say? Your encouragement, your inspiration, your challenge where that might be needed. But speak your words of love and grace over us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Really good to see you. Hope you're well. I want to start with a question. The question is this: are you affected by any phobias? By phobias, you know what I mean, I think, according to Webster's Dictionary, an exaggerated, usually inexplicable, and illogical fear of a particular object, class of objects, or situation. Any phobias? One or two? Okay. Oh, we're all doing pretty well. I have one. Mine is heights. Any others? Fear of heights? Not so keen when we go up the ladder. Yeah. Okay. One or two. Good, good. Around 20 years ago, when I was minister in London, my youth worker organized an outdoor activity week for our teenagers. I was invited to go along to lead the daily devotions and some Bible teaching. Now, one of the days, the activity that we were all doing was high ropes. Anyone been on the high ropes? Yeah? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. It entails the donning of a harness, a lot of clambering up some tall ladders and ropes, and then engaging with various team challenges way up in the treetops. Now, as I've said, me and heights just don't mix. So I stayed on the ground and shouted lots of encouragement to the groups. Well, this wasn't enough for those energetic and enthusiastic youngsters. They insisted that unless I put on a harness and joined them, they would not be attending any more of my devotions nor my Bible studies. The cheek. So, being the martyr to the gospel that I am, I started to climb very nervously and slowly, and the shouts of encouragement were now coming to me from the treetops. To cut a long story short, the finale of the activity required that each of us climbed to the very highest point on the assault course, where there was a small platform. And hanging around 6 feet away from that platform was a trapeze. And we were told to throw ourselves off the platform and try to catch hold of the trapeze. I can still remember that feeling of a cold sweat coming over me and being rooted to the platform with my arms wrapped tightly around the tree trunk. I was petrified. Now, I realize that that fear was illogical. I had on a harness to which was attached a rope. The other end of that rope was a burly instructor, and even the burly instructor was ultimately anchored to a massive concrete slab in the ground. So in reality, I was in no danger whatsoever. My brain knew that. My heart wasn't convinced. And so, as I hugged that tree, the youngsters from my church were now calling out to me, "Do not be afraid!" At least, I think that's what they were saying. I'm sure I heard the word wuss come in a few times. Do not be afraid. They're words that we find a lot, actually, in Scripture. There's a guy called Richard Rohr. I don't know if anyone's read any of the stuff that Richard Rohr has written. But he wrote a book called Falling Upwards, in which he took a look at that phrase through the Bible. He counted how many times it appears. Seems to me he needs to get out a bit more. But anyway, he did. 365 in the Bible. You may have heard that. 365 times in the Bible, we read, "Do not be afraid." Which is actually quite encouraging, that for every day of every year, we have that word kind of feeding us. In the Nativity that we've been blessed to remember over the last week, couple of weeks, we come across that phrase being spoken to a number of the characters from the Nativity story, each time being spoken by an angel. Do not be afraid. Now, I appreciate that at its very basic level, the angel was probably responding to the fear of angels that he was seeing in the people that he spoke to. In fact, there is a phobia. I don't know if you knew this, the fear of angels. It's angelophobia. It is, it exists, well, according to Mr. Google anyway. Angelophobia. So I appreciate that the people being presented with a word from an angel would have been afraid. But it seemed to me, as I kind of reflected a little bit more on the situations that those characters were finding themselves in, I think the angel was addressing a deeper and more fundamental underlying fear in each of those characters that I think perhaps could be helpful for us. And so that's what I want to take a few moments this morning just looking at. So the first of these, the character is Zechariah. And we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5 onwards these words. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. Moving on to verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. He was a priest. He was serving in the temple at that time. And he has this vision of the angel. And when verse 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." So, over many years, this priest, Zechariah, and his wife, Elizabeth, had remained childless. And we're told they were both now very old. And in that culture, and at that time, being childless was a little bit like a curse, perhaps even seen as a punishment by the people at that time. Hence the emphasis on their being, and I quote, righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. It's almost as if the stress is upon their, that this situation they find themselves in is not their fault. It is not something that they are have been guilty of that has brought about any kind of punishment or curse. So they're making that one, nailing that one down straight away. Nevertheless, imagine how many prayers that couple would have offered over the years, offering prayers in hope, offering prayers in tears, offering prayers in frustration, and the time has gone by and still no child's. And I imagine they've given up. So when the angel came and said to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid," perhaps the angel was addressing an underlying fear of unanswered prayer. An underlying fear of unanswered prayer. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son." Perhaps we can pause for a moment to reflect personally. We'll do this for each of the three characters that the angel addresses. Let's pause to reflect personally what this might be saying to each and every one of us. As we approach another new year, I wonder if we are in any way carrying into it any unanswered prayer. Perhaps this isn't the first year that we've carried that particular unanswered prayer. Perhaps we have begun to feel our prayers are ineffective. Maybe we've even stopped praying about it altogether. Maybe our prayers and our tears have dried up. If you'll allow me to play the angel this morning, I believe God wants to reassure us that your prayer has been heard. Let me just say that again. I just believe the word for each and every one of us, for whatever we are bringing to the Lord persistently in prayer and still waiting, however long or short that time may be, I really believe that God wants you to hear these words. Your prayer has been heard. Of course, that doesn't mean to say that God is going to answer our prayer in the way that we expect, or necessarily answer it to a particular time scale that would suit our impatience. But Scripture time and again reminds us that God delights in giving us the desire of our hearts. He wants to bless. He wants to give good gifts to us, his children. And he starts by listening to the prayers that we offer. And then in his good time, in his way, and of course he sees the bigger picture, he answers our prayers in a way that will be best for us in accordance with the full picture that only he knows. But we start by being reassured that he has heard our prayer. Scripture reminds us in Psalm 56, verse 8, "O God, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. you have recorded each one in your book. So if we've been wrestling with an unanswered prayer for so long in such a deep, deep way that it is expressed through our tears, not only has he heard, but he has captured every single one of those tears, Scripture tells us, in his bottle. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? Shows how precious our seeking, our praying, and our tears, and our wanting is to God, our loving Father. In Psalm 34, we read, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God," that shalom, which is the Hebrew word that kind of underpins that, "of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Matthew, we read, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And Romans 8, "If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." God knows what's best for us. He knows when and how to fulfill our needs. And the Spirit intercedes on our behalf for that very thing. So he hears our prayers and the Spirit is at work. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. The second character, we also read in Luke 1, is Mary, of course. Chapter 1, verse 26, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. For nothing is impossible with God.'" Kind of the other end of the scale a little bit, isn't it? You've got Elizabeth, who was so old, probably naturally incapable of conceiving. Here we have Mary, who was probably around about 12 to 14 years of age, not yet married, but betrothed or engaged to Joseph. And yet, miraculously, she is told by the angel, "You are going to bear a son, the Son of God." Mary asks, "How will this be?" That's the question she asked. The question she's probably thinking, and as far as we know, didn't ask, things like, "What will people think? How will Joseph react? What will it be like to give birth to the Son of God?" So when the angel said, "Do not be afraid," perhaps he was addressing an underlying fear of the unexpected situation, the impossible situation. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God." I wonder what that means. You found favor with God. Does that mean God has favorites? And he picked Mary because she's his favorite. Actually, the word, which is, of course, is Greek, because the New Testament was first written in Greek, that underlies that word, favor, is a Greek word I expect you may well know. And it's charis. Occasionally, you'll come across it as a name. Hermidella's daughter is Charis. They named her using that term. And it means literally grace. Grace. The grace of God. In other words, do not be afraid, Mary, for God is showing you his grace, his unmerited favor. And he will bring about this miracle. The angel goes on to say, the Lord is with you. And also, nothing is impossible with God. Again, let's pause for a moment to reflect personally on what this might be saying to us. As we approach another new year, are we facing a problem that seems impossible to overcome? Certainly extremely challenging, very difficult. And we don't know where the solution lies. Maybe we're kind of stepping into this new year with a sense of nervousness and anxiety, maybe even fear of this impossible, unexpected situation that we face. Have we perhaps recently been knocked sideways by an unexpected situation? As if the rug has been pulled from under our feet, as the expression goes. Perhaps we're feeling trapped in a particularly difficult set of circumstances and we don't know our way through. Maybe we're simply fearful for the future in a very uncertain season. Again, playing the angel this morning, I believe God wants to reassure us with these words. You have found favor with God. God's grace is abundantly poured out over you. Whatever situation you are facing, whatever you're going into, whatever uncertainty, anxiety, God's grace is sufficient. It is overwhelming. It is more than enough for your needs. More than that, I think God is wanting to reassure you that he is with you. As he said through the angel to Mary, the Lord is with you. So not only is his grace available, his presence is, there's a word imminent, isn't there? Not imminent, but immanent. The sort of presence of God is with us. Emmanuel is the name that reminds us that God is with us. And so he walks with us into whatever we're going to face. And then the third promise that I believe God wants you to hear this morning is that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, we read, the Lord said to me, my grace, my charis, is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Matthew 28, verse 20, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hebrews 13, verse 5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And in Luke 18, 27, Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So don't be afraid. God's grace is sufficient for you. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. Never mind our small part of that. and nothing is impossible with him. And then thirdly, the shepherds. We move on to Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, where we read, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Shepherds, as I'm sure you know, were considered the lowest of the low as people. In fact, when it says there were shepherds living out in the fields, it's a bit of a clue to how people saw shepherds. They believed that shepherds didn't live in homes like everyone. They lived with the animals. They were considered maybe one step up from the sheep that they were looking after and leading to pastures new and protecting. These were the least likely people that an angel would speak these words to, and who would be chosen by God to be the witnesses of the birth of his son, Jesus, in that stable and in that manger. God chose them above everyone. No wonder they hurried off to find Jesus in their excitement and then spread the word to everyone's amazement. So when the angel said, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news," they probably didn't get much good news. But this was. And perhaps the angel was addressing a fear of not being good enough, of not having a part to play, of being so marginalized and so insignificant. What could they possibly contribute? Maybe a fear of failure. And again, for a third and final time, let's pause to reflect. As we approach another new year, are we in any way feeling inadequate about some situation, a challenge perhaps that we know we're facing in this new year, and yet we feel is far bigger than we are and our ability to face it? Perhaps we're feeling a sense of failure in what we believe we have achieved or not achieved in the last year. Maybe we just think 2026 is just another year of letting God down, letting others down. Perhaps we're feeling nervous, reluctant to try something new this year that God perhaps is leading us into. Perhaps we find ourselves comparing ourselves with someone else and feeling we always come off second best. I don't know, Christmas can sometimes exacerbate that, can't it? When families get together, maybe it's just my family, I don't know. And how someone else has, you know, brought their children up, or how someone else has cooked the meal, or how someone else in our family or our friendship group seems to be so organized. And me, And we compare ourselves, don't we? And come off a poor second. And we feel inadequate, perhaps. So again, finally, playing the angel. I think my halo is beginning to shine now, isn't it? I believe God wants to reassure us with these words, "I bring you good news." those words, good news, of course, same word as the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus came, sent by the Father to show us God in human flesh, to teach us how to live, to teach us about his love and how much he values us, even if we don't value ourselves. This is good news when we read his word. The good news is that he made the ultimate sacrifice. That's how much he loves us and appreciates us and cherishes us and have chosen us as his children. And we are able to be the children of God because of his death and resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And the angel gave that amazing story to these lowly shepherds for them to begin spreading it. Wow, I'm encouraged that if God will choose shepherds to do that and they were effective, how much more can I be in my inadequacies to be used by God? One more scripture, Corinthians 1, where we read, when you were first called, when we first became Christians, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world, for which I'm very, very grateful, to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. It is his upside down way of looking at the world and us in connection with it. It's why he chose a stable and a manger, not a palace and a throne for Jesus. So yes, God can use even you and me to fulfill his purposes. And as we allow him to work in and through us, we will be enabled to play a full and significant part in his purposes. And many will come to hear the good news that Jesus came to bring through you and through me, how we live our lives. So don't be afraid. We've been given good news, and we carry this good news into 2026. Amen? Amen. Now you may be wondering, did I jump? You know, from the platform to the swing. The answer is yes, I did. Hey, and one of my hands almost caught hold of it, but not enough to stop me falling. But as I fell, I found myself being lowered gently, safely, and dare I say, rather gracefully, to the ground. It was only because I took that leap of faith that I experienced being anchored to that rock. And that memory, that experience of being securely fastened by that harness and rope reminded me of a famous chorus to an old hymn. Some of you, like me, are probably old enough to remember this. Will your anchor hold? Yeah, a few of you. Sorry, you youngsters, you'll just have to take our word for this. But the chorus goes, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. That's the assurance. That's why we don't need to be afraid. And it also reminded me, as I was reflecting more recently, of a poem by someone called Minnie Louise Haskins, entitled God Knows. And it's a poem that was made famous back in 1939 by the then King George VI, because he quoted it in his Christmas speech. Now, bear in mind, 1939 Christmas, what was just happening, what was unfolding going that year and going into 1940 and beyond. And the poem goes like this, and I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. that shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. I just think that's a lovely image, putting our hand into the hand of God as we step into a new year. So you and I may be facing some uncertainties in 2026, perhaps some situations that feel daunting. We may be feeling a degree of anxiety or even fear at the prospect, an unanswered prayer, a seemingly impossible problem, or a sense of inadequacy for the tasks ahead. But though fearful and inadequate, Zechariah, Mary, and the shepherds were able to play their part in the plans and purposes of God as they put their trust in his promises. So, how do we respond to this? I'm going to invite the band to return and come and join me. And can I invite you all to stand with me, if you're able? And as we stand together, I invite you to, let's close our eyes so we're not so aware of other people. Bring to mind whatever it may be that we are feeling a sense of anxiety, fear, uncertainty going into this new year. And if it's helpful to you, perhaps we put our hands out in front of us as we hold anything that we know we are carrying. It could be a health situation. It could be a financial concern. Maybe it's a relationship that's difficult. Maybe it's a new challenge. Something I think God is asking me to do. And to be quite honest, I'm feeling very anxious about it. Maybe it's some other step of faith. Whatever it is that we're carrying that might be causing us any kind of anxiety or fear, let's hold these before us. And in our imagination, let's place these into the hands of God. As God stretches his hand out, let's place that thing, that situation, that fear, that question, that doubt, that upset, those tears, that longing. Let's place it into God's outstretched hand. Let's imagine God taking it and holding it to his chest, holding it to his heart. Let's hear his words using the words of John 3:16. I love you so much that I sent my only son into the world, that as you believe and trust in me, so you will not perish, but have eternal life. Hear too the words of Jeremiah as God speaks them to you. I have loved you with an everlasting love and drawn you with unfailing kindness. And let's hear those words in 1 John from God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And in our imaginations, let's put our hand into his other outstretched hand. Take a hold of it. Let's commit ourselves to walking with him into whatever we face. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that nothing is impossible with you. Thank you that you are always with us. Thank you for your faithfulness, your unfailing love. Lord, we put our trust as we put our hand into yours. Would you lead us and guide us. Help us to follow, to walk with you. And not to be afraid. In Jesus' name, amen.